News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. But I got to tell you real quickly, too, about my friends at Otter Creek Farm. You hear me talking about them, and golly, that place is so amazing. Charlene and I go out there. It's like an oasis in North Alabama. You gotta check it out, folks. I'd encourage you to please go check out their website, ottercreekfarmstead.com. I mean, if you're looking for a place to go hunt pheasant or quail, that's certainly it. It's one of the best wing shooting destinations in Northeast Alabama. However, it is also a site for wedding destinations, for corporate retreats, or just taking a day. And their culinary staff, their actual chefs on staff out there in those amazing facilities will fix you a meal like nothing you've never had. And so Charlene and I have gone out there and had dinners and things, taken groups out there before. Check them out. Otter Creek Farm. You can find their website at ottercreekfarmstead.com. ottercreekfarmstead.com. Featured in Garden and Gun magazine, a place where Donald Trump Jr. came and stayed overnight recently to go hunting. ottercreekfarmstead.com. All right, listen, so if you want to call in, 866-494-9866, I'd love to hear from you. We've talked about racist roads today. We've talked about litigation being everywhere and how this litigation is also impacting military, pushing back against the vaccine mandates. We've talked about OSHA and what OSHA is doing and the fact that OSHA, by the way, is not in every single state. And that's interesting because, like, the governor of Florida, DeSantis, once again leading from the front, is saying, you know what? We just found out that we have the option and we're trying to divorce ourselves from federal OSHA so they can choose to try and fight back by not adopting the OSHA mandates as part of their state-level OSHA plan. That would be interesting. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this. And then, you know, for the last part of the time here, I'm just going to troll the news because there's a whole lot of stuff out there, not the least of which, interesting point here, I'm looking at, where'd it go, on Twitter. So Howard Stern says he wants to run against Trump for president in 2024. Okay, if some of y'all had questions of character about Trump, I would love to see you support Howard Stern instead and try to then explain that away. All right, yeah. Dale Jackson actually tweeted that out, and he says, never going to happen. Howard Stern won't even leave his own house. I agree. By the way, 866-494-9866. Phone lines are open. I see I got a call on line one. Let me go to Dave from Athens. Hey, Dave, Phil Williams on Right Side. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon, sir. I just had a question about this whole OSHA vaccine mandate. You know, I don't have a business background. I don't have a business mind, but what if an employer with more than 100 employees was to fire their employees and bring them back on as independent contractors to get around that mandate? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of the workarounds you're probably going to see, Dave. That, and I also believe that you're going to see companies that are on the margin of hitting 100 employees that are going to keep their employees at 99. I think you're also going to see some companies that are going to split up, and they're going to say, like, for instance, if they have, you know, like distribution and manufacturing in one company, they're going to split them up and make two different companies just to avoid hitting that 100 mark and have two separate companies then. So I think you're going to see a whole lot of workarounds like that, and you may not have run a business yourself, but you've got a business savvy mind, because that's the kind of thing that I think was going to happen. Yeah, absolutely, Dave.
Yeah, appreciate it. And, you know, I mean, I guess in times like this, with this administration getting so creative, I think it's in time for employers to get just as creative. That's all I got. Appreciate your time, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the call. Hey, folks, you guys want to call in just like that, 866-494-9866. Love to hear your thoughts, your questions, your input. And in the meantime, let me troll some more news because things are happening. I just saw this story right now. It's breaking today, really. Have you heard about all this going on with the Durham investigation? So the Durham investigation has been investigating the whole Trump dossier. Remember that? The Trump dossier, the Steele dossier, Russian collusion. And Adam Schiff, you know, is just out there like several hundred times talking about he's seen actual evidence of the collusion. He had never seen jack squat, Adam Schiff, pencil neck. So the bottom line is this Biden connection is starting to show up. Have you seen this? Yep. So what's happening right now is in the Durham investigation, not all of which is criminal, but it's certainly unethical, we're starting to see things materialize like it appears. The National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, who is now the National Security Advisor for President Biden, he is the quote-unquote foreign policy advisor, end quote, listed in the indictment of Hillary Clinton's former lawyer, who has now been indicted in the scandals involved around this fake Steele dossier. How's that going to pan out? Very interesting. Other stories that I'm looking at right now, if you want to call in, 866-494-9866. But other stories I'm looking at, here's one that just is infuriating to think about. Look at this headline. Right now on the Daily Wire, they're reporting the Biden administration has left behind dozens of family members of U.S. troops in Afghanistan. How's that for a storyline? Dozens of troops in Afghanistan. And by the way, I'm going to say something to Copper real quick. Hey, Copper, I know that you guys are switching off. Just make sure that they know the phone lines are open and I'm taking calls. 866-494-9866, folks. So listen, Pentagon admits, here it is, dated today, Daily Wire, Pentagon admits it left dozens of family members of U.S. troops in Afghanistan. What? Storyline here, the Pentagon is admitting that since President Biden withdrew all U.S. troops from Afghanistan, that several dozen immediate family members of U.S. service members are still trapped there. In a memo issued by Undersecretary of Defense for Policy Colin Kahl, it asks U.S. military personnel and DOD civilians who have immediate family members requiring help to leave Afghanistan to contact his office. And it goes on to say here, according to defense officials, several dozen immediate family members of U.S. service members are still in Afghanistan. There are well over 100 extended family members still in Afghanistan. Now, keep in mind, part of what's happened here is that, there are members of the U.S. military who are of Afghan prior nationality, all right? They were naturalized citizens. Some of them came over here. They were interpreters. And we have, you know, we have a need for linguists within the military. And so some of these guys and females even have gone into the U.S. military and then recognized that their family members were trapped and trying to get them out. And so we have U.S. military members whose family members are stuck in Afghanistan who were likely approved for withdrawal and couldn't get out. That is your Pentagon under the Biden administration. So other stories that I'm trolling right now, interesting story right now on 1819 News by Craig Monger. Craig wrote a story today on 1819news.com, news service that I hope you're going to check out, 1819news.com. A microchip shortage, the supply chain thing, it's affecting all aspects of life. So a microchip shortage right now is allegedly affecting law enforcement. How is that, Phil? How are microchips affecting law enforcement? Well, because semiconductor chips are used in all of the electronics within law enforcement vehicles these days. And police departments are now having to compete for new vehicles across the entire country because they cannot get the chips in. I mean, the vehicles can be built by the factory and still not be ready for service because they're not outfitted yet. And Sheriff Mark Pettway down in Jefferson County, he's got 100 vehicles on back order because their sheriff's department is so large. He's got 100 vehicles on back order that he can't get. He said, we just made another order of vehicles because our fleet has to be replenished, and we're hoping these chips that are missing from the vehicles will be furnished. He says right now that the shortage could create a real public safety issue. That's crazy. Going back to the phones real quick, I see I got line two, Wayne from Rogersville. Kelsey, go ahead and put Wayne from Rogersville on. Hey, Wayne, Phil Williams on right side. How you doing?
Very good, Phil. Thank you for what you do. And I got two questions.
Yes, sir.
One is, when did we stop being a constitutional republic and become a democracy? And the second question is, what is the penalty for politicians that don't uphold their oath to protect the Constitution?
Well, thank you. Thanks, man. I appreciate the call, Wayne. So I think I heard him say, Kelsey, that he's hanging up and is going to listen to me talk for a minute. Yes, indeed, we are a constitutional republic. That's what federalism is, folks. When you look at the way our nation was built, it is a nation of state. We are the United States of America, and that has not ended. All right. And the idea that we are just a pure democracy is not true. That's why we have the Electoral College. That's why we have states' rights. That's why we have state legislatures. Because this republic is built on the concept that the independent states will unite together for common cause, but that otherwise they have a right to their own sovereignty. And that's what the 10th Amendment does guarantee them. Now, there's a thing called supremacy. Yes. There's a thing that says that basically federal law can trump state law. Yes. But not always. Not always. And right now, keep in mind, too, the vaccine mandates are a key example. The vaccine mandates are nothing but an executive order accompanied by federal regulations. They have the effect of law without having true color of law. And so that being said, the fact that we now have some state laws in Alabama and other states are beginning to follow suit shows you clearly that we have the ability to operate as states and use that then as a bludgeon to try and beat back the federal overreach. That's why we have a state legislature. That's why some states have a different speed limit than others. That's why some states have a different probate rule than others. That's why some states have, you know, different criminal penalties than others, because the states are allowed to set their own laws. Now, he asked the question, I believe the second question, I didn't jot it down, was what is the penalty for elected officials who decline to uphold their constitutional obligations? And I guess I would have to, number one, defer again to whether or not this is federal or state you're talking about. The question, so when I was sworn in as a state senator, I swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the state of Alabama. And I did so. And I don't know of anyone who didn't. Keep in mind that there is an air of discretion allowed for public officials. In other words, you don't have to all do the same thing. Legislators don't have to all vote the same way. Now, if you find, though, that they are defying constitutional liberties, you have a right to file suit on that. And if there is a ethical violation, then they can be, and we've seen a number of them, go to court, and then, I mean, criminal court, and then go to jail. So the penalties are going to be assessed based upon the actual violation. But the question of enforcement of constitutional obligations, I think right now it's going to be a hard point to say that a discretionary body like the legislature or the executive branch or anybody else is not upholding their constitutional obligations simply because we don't agree with what they did. There's my long answer to a short question. All right, folks. Hey, Kelsey, go ahead and take us to a short break here. We'll come back and wrap up the day. I'll troll through some more news stories. But listen, it's been some more kind of a full day, and I suspect that's an indication it's going to be a full week. All right, folks, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. 4:47 p.m. We'll be right back.